You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hi, I'm Curtis Marshall, and you're watching The Best Practices Show with Kirk Barron.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practice Show with Kirk Barron. So excited to have you here. This is so much fun, and we don't even know what we're doing. We're just making it up, having a great time. And we are adding value to the questions that you guys have all the time, which is how do we improve our practice? How do we make things better? How do we create a better practice and a better life? And a great part of that has been my friend Curtis Marshall from Dental Intel, which we're going to talk about in a second, who's changed the entire game for us as coaches because now we've got incredible data insight that we didn't have previously, and it's laser accurate. It's no different than you being a restorative dentist and you're now entering the digital workflow. The things that we can do now are just blowing our minds, and there's never been a better time to be a dentist than right now, and we're going to get into that in a second. But before we get started, a couple things. We are shooting this live on Facebook, so as you have questions, continue to add them to the feed and ask them away, and you can just add them right here, and while the man is on, I will ask him the questions. So questions that you have, we can just throw them to the man. But and then if you're watching these later on, you continue to have questions, please add them to the feed, and then you guys can, you'll see Curtis will be really good at getting back to you and all those kind of things. But my good friend Curtis Marshall, now you and I have known each other for a while. We've done a couple of these on different elements of the practice and data engineering. You have a big company called Dental Intel. Tell us your story, because we've got a lot of people that sometimes this might be their first effort watching this. We've got some dental students watching this. They might say to themselves, hey, I don't know anything about Dental Intel. Who are you and what is Dental Intel?
Thanks, Kirk. And I really love being on here with your show. We've had some really good conversations, things that give me goosebumps, things that almost make me cry and laugh, as always. But ultimately, myself, I love the dental field. In fact, probably the best investment I've ever made in my life is getting cosmetic work done.
Right.
I even tell my wife that, and she's like, what about getting married? I'm like, close second. But the best investment dentistry changes lives. I love it. My whole family's in it. We have dentists, hygienists, office managers, owners, the whole bit. And what we have found, both in my family and also here at Dental Intel, is that if you focus on two main things, everything else falls into place, and that is patient care and team performance. That's what Dental Intel works on. We want to increase patient care and team performance. And that's what ultimately we talk about every time with you too as well, Kirk, is how to increase those two things.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you guys simplified this. Now, we're going to show everybody how to do this. But you gave me a while back called the profitability formula, you know, and I want you to go through that, because when I met you guys for the first time, we had looked over 200 lines of data in dental practices, and then you summarized it in just to a few simple numbers. So take the viewers through this. There's a formula in dentistry, and if you have a pen, you're going to want to write this down, because it's really all you need to know about dentistry. And then we're going to show you how this specifically pertains to the second element and in hygiene when we talk about production per visit. So give us the formula.
Awesome. Thanks, Kirk. So what we've found over the last 100 years in dentistry, we've been focusing on two, maybe three numbers: production, collections, and new patients. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what we're focusing on. Mm-hmm. Yet, when I look at last month and I produced 100,000, there's nothing I can do to increase that.
Right.
It's done. Unless you're Marty McFly, you can't change it.
Right.
So there's what's called a production formula, and I'm going to show our viewers here.
Yeah.
This production formula, and this is something that we want you to know. This is something we're not charging you for. We're not going to charge your bank account at all for this. This is something that if everyone knows what to improve, patient care will improve nationwide.
Right.
Right.
So the first thing we focus on rather than production is visits, mm-hmm. getting more people in the door. That could be new patients, it could be existing patients. Then, like you mentioned, we want to focus on what's called production per visit. How to increase? Here's a few ways to increase those. You can push pause or do whatever you want. Here's a few ways that we can increase production per visit. Mm-hmm. And then it's increasing the collection percentage. Kirk, in an office, if we produce $100,000, are we going to collect $100,000?
Well, my answer would be naturally yes.
Yes.
Of course. But you're going to find that most offices don't do that. They don't naturally collect 100%. And there's a discrepancy. Oftentimes it's between their real production, which is their gross production and net production. But then you also have another fall off when it comes to actual collections, which we can get into a little bit. But here's the most important part. You're asking another question behind the question, which is you got to know this number. And most people don't know these numbers, and they guess at them. And they go, no, we get everything. Well, there aren't many practices that get them all.
That's the thing, is we want to know what these are. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty behind Dental Intel, is that it provides you with actionable data. This is where you are today.
Right.
And then on top of that, I have some algorithms that tell you what to do today specifically.
Right.
But we're not jumping to that today, but ultimately, you must know these things in order to improve.
Yeah.
So we're going to be focusing on one small area today, just production per visit, like you mentioned. But in order to talk about this, we need to understand the whole picture, which is visits times production per visit times collection percentage. That's what equals our collections.
Yeah. Now, can I just say one thing too, Curtis? Because if you haven't been a part of this series before, an important thing to understand is this: what gets measured gets improved, but what gets measured and reported on exponentially improves. And each incremental change that you make, you might think this is not a big deal, but when you improve the number of visits by a fraction, you improve your production per visit by a fraction, you improve your collections by a fraction, it has a compounding effect. And you were just giving me a tour of your office, your brand new office, which is gorgeous. And you showed me a story on the wall about a pilot that got on a plane. And I love that story. And what happened? It's a terrible, terrible ending, but it's an important lesson. So tell us the story behind that flight.
Very important, Kirk. And thanks for bringing this up. So this plane left out of New Zealand, or actually out of Australia. And they left from Australia and they were going to go visit Antarctica on a touring trip. Well, back in 1979 is when this event happened. They were off just 2 degrees, and the instruments, they didn't have instruments to tell them that they were off 2 degrees. So they were going on their path, and once they got to Antarctica, they hit a mountain. Unfortunately, because of a small little thing that they didn't know that they were off, because of that small little thing, the whole plane crashed and it killed everyone on that flight.
Right.
Very sad, but very good learning experience for us as dental professionals.
Yeah, and so while that's a terrible ending, the moral of the story is what you don't know can hurt you. in the process of running a business. And I think it's actually irresponsible now to run a dental practice without really great data. So let's go into this. How important, let's talk about the why behind hygiene. And when we talk about hygiene case acceptance, what you guys have learned in studying now over 4,000 practices that you're monitoring every day. You're talking about billions and billions of data points from all these practices. What are you guys learning at an exponential pace behind this data?
Well, that's a really good question, Kirk, because what we're learning is, just like you mentioned, if we just know which levers or which buttons to push,
right,
it's a lot easier. Rather than saying do better, do more, work harder, work faster. No, let's just say, this is exactly what I need to do. Boop. And Kirk's team, the people who understand these data points, can say, this is how you push that button. This is how you pull that lever.
Right.
And then everything falls into place. We get patients who return, patients who refer, and patients who accept treatment.
Right.
Those are the main things that we want to be aware of.
Yeah. Now, let me pull this in, because some of you might be watching this thinking, well, this is all about money. It's not, because I love the heartbeat behind the whole process of the educational things that you and I have been talking about. It's basically two things, Curtis. What are they? You guys have two goals. I love these goals.
Patient care. We want to increase patient care and increase team performance.
Mm-hmm. And when you do those things, the natural byproduct of it is obviously the business does better. It always will. But we got to do the right things first. So I tell everybody, don't go into this looking to make more money. That will happen. But the thing that you have to do is get these items right. And then the byproduct is beautiful. So take us into this.
Oh, go ahead. And here's why, Kirk, that dollars really are important. It's not to pay for the Ferrari in the back of the office. That's not why dollars are important. The reason why we want to focus on dollars is because if I've got a crown and I do zero production on that crown, doctors, you collect $0.
Right.
I'm not any healthier. In fact, I'm getting worse because that decay doesn't go away. But if you charge me $1,000 and now you do $1,000 of production, what really happened was there's $1,000 of patient care.
Right.
In dentistry, it's one of the few things that each dollar is associated to patient care.
Yeah.
And thanks for bringing that up. So today what we want to focus on is increasing the dollars in hygiene.
Okay.
In the hygiene visit, hygiene visit.
Now, let me start with the most obvious question that I get all the time when people are on this platform is they start to look at these levers of profitability. We get to the second one and naturally everyone says, well, okay, why do you group doctor PPV and hygiene PPV together? Because it's not the same. Like, I got three hygienists. It doesn't compare to a doctor. What we want to do is take a look at the overall PPV, and an important production per visit, an important piece of this is the hygiene component. Can you just speak to that philosophically? Because that's the question I get. I thought I would just ask you.
Yeah, so let's go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and share a dashboard here.
Okay.
Somebody's numbers. Okay. And what we're seeing here is application window, Mr. Kirk here, share. And what we want to be looking is this one. Okay, so the production per visit, is this what you can see? Can you see this screen here?
I see it perfectly.
Okay, good. The production per visit, just like you said, this is taking all production and dividing it by all visits, no matter what. By knowing this score, it at least lets us know if there's something to be focusing on or not. What's happening in this office, Kirk? Without even looking at it, is this number increasing or decreasing?
Where are we looking at?
Production per visit right here.
So the trend is upward.
It's increasing. Now, it may not be where we want it to be. In fact, it's not. Nationwide, an office that does implants, and this office does do implants, should be over $400 production per visit. $400 production per visit. That's the average. So now they know where they are, and they know where they want to be, and see that we're increasing. That's good, but we're not quite there yet.
Okay.
There's only two types of appointments that produces production. It's either hygiene or restorative. So now that we know that we want to increase this, now we dive into figuring out, all right, which is it? Is it restorative or hygiene?
Right. Now, let's do a little definition of what gets attributed towards the hygienist, because this has been an age-old conversation. Like, are you talking about everything, like the doctor exam? And so give us a little perspective on what gets attributed to the PPV and hygiene.
So the production per visit, you can look at it one of two ways. You can either look at it by provider, or you can look at it as the office, as hygiene versus restorative. Now, Kirk, there'd be benefits to both of those, right? If we look at it by provider, we're now seeing, is that specific provider doing the right thing or not, right? Are they improving? Who can improve on? Who needs improvement? We can see that by provider. But if we look at it by the office, what do you think would be a benefit of looking at it as the whole office rather than just per provider?
Well, I would say the first thing is that collectively we can learn and we can see how much our individual contributions are helping the whole. That would be my first thought. But the second thought would be, like, we just need to know where to start so we can improve. So, Curtis, as you throw these numbers at me, one of the things that the human beings, I just think human beings, like, we need to know what's normal, what's average. It'd be like saying your kid took this test and they got a 2,230, and you're like, well, I don't even know what that means. Like, what's average? What's good? What is that? Good? Is that bad? So getting a good idea of how we compare and what can be improved, because you guys are all about opportunities. You're not about making a hygienist feel bad or a dentist feel bad. It's about exploring opportunities for growth and then lighting a path that leads that in that direction.
Kirk, there couldn't be a better way to put that. We first need to know where we are in order to get where we want to be. If I want to get to Hawaii, I first need to tell them that I'm leaving from Salt Lake City. If I don't tell them I'm leaving from Salt Lake, they might book my flight from Wisconsin or some crazy place like that.
Right. And I hope you're not driving to Hawaii. That would be bad too. So
exactly. So if I need to know where I am first. Mm-hmm. So let's find out where this office is first. They have almost 1,400 people that have had a hygiene visit in the last 18 months. Mm-hmm. That's what this is saying. Active hygiene patients, patients who have had a cleaning in the last 18 months. Okay. Well, out of those patients, how many have a future hygiene visit?
Now, I don't have my glasses on. Tell me, it's hard to see that for me, buddy.
65%. Let me go ahead and zoom in a little bit for everyone.
Which is pretty low.
For hygiene?
Yeah.
You know, there's the whole office counting denture patients and limited exams and everything. That'd be okay. But since we're looking at hygiene pre-appointment, we'd like that to be at least 80%, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. For a lot of different reasons. Number one, you're driving patient retention. And at the end of the game, you're also driving practice valuation. That's for a whole other conversation. But I want to help a dentist that's watching this understand that these little metrics mean a world of difference later on.
Here's why what we're really going to be jumping in today. Out of the 13, almost 1,400 patients, we are seeing that, look at the denominator there. See how the denominator on perio percentage is 816? Mm-hmm. That means that there are 816 patients over the age of 30. So that's our denominator. Okay. In our hygiene, within our hygiene, 118 patients are over the age of 30. Out of those patients, only 79 are in perio, which should be closer to 30%. We're seeing the ADA and the CDC, but they are saying at least 30% have perio.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you the question that we get all, why do you think it's so low? Because I don't think periodontal disease is disappearing, do you?
Oh, well, the numbers aren't showing that, that's for sure. There's lots of reasons. Most of it's right up here, okay, or right here. We feel like it's okay, or we're scared up top. What we're seeing is we're fearful of getting people to say yes to perio. What about you, Kirk? What are you seeing nationwide? Why do you think that it's a little low?
I think a lot of it has to do that we're a little afraid, or we undervalue what we do. You know, hygienists are sometimes afraid to tell patients that they've got some level of infection. They're often afraid to discuss how the fees might change when we come back for therapy regarding perio. And really the essence of it is we serve, you know, hygienists do an amazing job, but they serve champagne and they charge for water, which means ultimately we just don't value what we do. And when you undervalue what you do, people undervalue who you are. But that's for a whole other conversation, because when a hygienist truly starts to communicate this value and the perio numbers go up, we see the 4,000 codes go up where it reaches the percentages that you're talking about, Curtis. What naturally happens is patients ultimately want better care. And so we find that there's a direct correlation between the perio numbers improving, where patients get healthier, and the restorative number goes up. Because if you're a dentist and you're watching this, you can't even deny the fact or even talk about the fact that perio is the foundation for restorative. So these things all come together in the perfect storm, but a lot of times we just need to know the number first.
And if they say yes to perio, guess what they're going to say yes to next?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's such a fall down cascade experience.
Right.
So, Kirk, the title of this podcast, of this show, is saying, hey, we want to hygiene case acceptance, right?
Right.
Well, first off, we need to realize that in case acceptance, we've typically bundled it all together, and we've kind of done a decent job of tracking case acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this software automatically tracks it all for us, but what we're going to do out of this whole bunch is we're going to segment just the hygiene procedures.
Okay.
Acceptance on just hygiene procedures. So what procedures would be considered if your hygienist said, hey, Kirk, you need X for hygiene, not for anything restorative, just hygiene in order to increase the health of your mouth. What would be a procedure?
Well, you talked about the routine, adult prophy. You talk about children prophy. You might talk about 4,000 codes. You might talk about, there's a whole gamut of things. And I'm not the best on procedure codes. That's not my game. And that's your game. But, those would be my first additional, initial thoughts.
You're absolutely right. The 4,000 codes, which are the perio codes,
right?
So all perio codes, that's hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
Sealants would be another thing that's hygiene. I'm preventing decay.
Right.
Another one would be fluoride. I'm preventing decay. So out of all these things, perio and really a cleaning, we're not going to count that as case acceptance, because that's just what you should be getting. That's somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. That's like pre-appointment, where you just want to get them to come back in.
Right.
But case acceptance and hygiene, perio, sealants, and fluoride.
Okay.
Those are the big ones.
Okay.
So out of that, what we're seeing nationwide is that if you are able to focus on that, then you can increase it. But what's the first step to any case acceptance, whether it's hygiene or restorative? The first step is?
Well, first of all, you got to have the discussion. You got to diagnose it, right?
Kirk, that's exactly it. And everybody skips it. The first step is diagnostic. So let's go ahead and look at this practice.
Right. Now because you're hitting a really hot point for us too, because let's just face it, like everybody gets better, the patient, the office, when you talk about the truth. So this isn't about, suggesting more dentistry or getting people to say yes or hard selling them. We find in the practices we coach, most people want to do the right thing, but they're afraid to talk about the truth. And I think one of the most powerful places you can be as an office is detach yourself from what you think a patient is going to say, because it's not your job to determine what they say or how they react or if they're going to be overwhelmed by the. Your only commitment is just to be honest, to tell them the truth and tell them what you see, and then let them make a decision. Would you agree with that?
As a patient, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
As a professional, I agree with that. As an analyst, as a data geek, I definitely, all those things, Kirk, absolutely. Those patients at the public, let's be honest, the public is not, they don't understand dental.
Mm-hmm.
They brush their teeth and they think that they're good.
Right.
They only come in when they're hurting.
Right. Well, on top of it, we can exacerbate this whole problem by minimizing language, where team members and dentists, now nobody watching this podcast would do this, but you say things like, well, it's just a little bleeding, or it's just a little bit of infection, or it's a little, or, and what patients hear is, well, it's not that big of a deal. And the key part is this, is that you're either bleeding or you're not bleeding. You're not, are you a little pregnant or are you pregnant? You know, there's no in between. So I think the important thing is don't undervalue your professional advice, whether it be diagnosis or not.
So key here. So Kirk, as far as that first step, this office in a month saw 206 hygiene visits.
Okay.
How many did they diagnose for a hygiene procedure? This is very, once again, out of everything that we diagnosed, out of those hygiene procedures.
You're going to make me wear my glasses, aren't you? So I got to put it on my glasses so I can hear you. Okay. So again, buddy, it's hard. You're going to have to read those because I'm looking at a couple of screens here, so I can't see the number, but
104.
Okay.
50%. 50% of their patients are diagnosed with sealants, fluoride, or perio. Mm-hmm. Is that good or bad? That's not for me to decide. That's for the hygienist to decide.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, it's not great.
Well, and I would say this too. I'm going to add one more thing because I completely agree. This is not about being perfect. It's about having a little progress. So this might be where you start, but I'll tell you, everybody feels better. The patients, you, the doctor, when it just gets a little bit better every month, but you got to know the starting point.
Absolutely. You need to know where you're at. So this is the first step. After you diagnose, well, then guess what? Out of all the people that they present treatment to, 87% of the people accept that treatment. They accept something small or large. So let's look at it as a lottery ticket.
Right.
If I go to the gas station and I pick up a lottery ticket, and every time I pick up a lottery ticket, I win 87% of the time, how many times am I going to buy a lottery ticket?
I don't know. I would double down. I'd be going there every payday, I think, because it's a pretty good. Now, wasn't it Wayne Gretzky who said you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take? So just as a function of having the conversation and maybe having more conversations and not even doing anything different because you're already at 87%, I'm thinking, you know, if you got a pitcher that's throwing 87% strikes, just have him pitch more.
Yeah, keep him in the game. Why take the pitcher out who's getting a whole bunch of I mean, there's just another no-hitter this year.
Right.
By a guy from the Athletic team. Mm-hmm. Right. So he did no hitter. Why would the manager, what do you think would happen if the manager pulled him on the eighth inning and said, you're doing pretty good, but I'm going to throw somebody else in?
Yeah, there would have been a riot. But
crazy. Yeah. Right? So, I mean, if you're doing well, keep it up. But most importantly, we need to know these numbers.
Right. And you know, you guys have taught me those numbers work in conjunction. Individually, they don't do very much. But when you put these two pieces of information together, that's when you get a really good understanding of cause and effect in this particular department in your practice.
So let's take it one step further, Kirk. This is where it gets really fun. So I know that 87% of my people accept treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on average, I'm presenting these patients with $79 per person. That's what I'm diagnosing.
Okay.
They're accepting only 60% of what I'm what I'm showing them. So true, we have really high people are accepting everything, but they're only accepting 60% of the treatment we're diagnosing to them.
Right.
I mean, it's falling down. If we just, like you said, increase one small lever here, we could either increase diagnostic percentage. We could either increase acceptance of people from 87 to 95 if we want, or we could increase the percentage of the dollars that are being accepted.
Right. And in true nature of what this whole program is called, which is best practices, if you have multiple hygienists, this is where collaboration really comes in because you're going to have hygienists that are going to have different numbers. And the cool part is you can look at one that's more effective and you can say, what are they doing? DSOs are doing that now through your platform. They're taking a look at best practices from best practices and saying, hey, let's apply this across the board. And so collaboratively, collectively, we all get better. So this isn't about competition. It's about how do we all get better?
Because if you don't know where to improve, you can't do it.
Right.
You simply can't. So, Kirk, in an office that were to see these numbers, right? And let's say they were at a certain number per person, they'd realize, you know what? We are not diagnosing. We're not getting accepting those things, perio, sealants, and fluoride.
Okay.
Right? And we could break it down to each one. Mm-hmm. I mean, today we're not going to go over that, but we could break it down and say how much sealants, how many fluoride, how many perio. We're just going to stick to hygiene.
Right.
Okay. If an office were to do that, how quickly do you think that it could improve?
I think you'd see dramatic improvement in probably 2 or 3 days, but that would be my guess.
Well, let's see. So this is an office that we're going to see month over month what they did.
Okay.
Every month for the last 3 years, these guys have been right around $80, $90 of hygiene dollars per visit.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they were at.
Right.
As soon as they discovered where they were at, when do you think they discovered?
Right about there, because that would, you know, you taught me this a couple shows back. You know, the data tells the story. Your job is to interpret the story. So my question would be, what happened between that particular data point and the noticeable improvement? And my guess is they just started paying attention to those numbers.
They absolutely did. Okay. All right. So here's where it gets even crazier. So we can increase this instantly by tracking. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, in December-ish, the office manager left. She moved away.
Okay.
So now they stopped tracking these numbers. Mm-hmm. They stopped tracking the diagnostic and hygiene. They stopped tracking the case acceptance and hygiene. Look what happened. 2017.
Wow. Interesting.
2018.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is not just sad because the doctors aren't getting more money.
Right.
That's not why I'm sad.
Mm-hmm.
Why we're sad here is that the patients are not getting the care that they need because the front desk person left and the new one did not pick up the data points.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's not let our patients slip away. Let's not let them get poor care. These patients need better care, and so do yours. And if you don't know where you're at, you can't improve.
Right. My first thought as a coach or consultant is thinking about the overall health of the practice, just emotionally, or even the health of the dentist, because the dentist is probably stressed too without even looking at any of these numbers. And let me just speak to that. As a dentist, your guess is probably, oh my gosh, you know, I lost one of my team members and now my practice is going into a tailspin. When you have data, it's not emotional. You know, you can look at data and you don't have to get upset. You can't get mad. You can't. It's just data. And if we don't have data, we're just having a conversation because everybody thinks they're doing a great job. And they are. Their hearts are in the right place. But often the data tells you the whole story. It'd be no different than me trying to run a baseball team. And I just put my favorite players in there. You know what I mean? And I'm not paying attention to that my slugger is batting ninth, which is dumb, right? That's not smart. You're always going to put your best hitter where?
Oh, you're going to put him in, what is it, four?
You're going to put him in cleanup. Now, you know, if any of you go to a Major League Baseball game, you can't watch a game without overwhelming data. Now they don't even do batting average. They've got OPS, which is on base plus slugging percentage, which not only tells you how much they're going to get on base, but how far they're going to go around the bases. And they got spray charts. Now when you got Mike Moustakas up to bat, nobody's in left field. And you're like, this is nuts. But they have a lot of data to know he never hits over there. We're all going to go over here. And now he's not hitting and... Now I'm like, oh, this data thing's screwing up baseball. We can't even enjoy it. And now everybody's over now, you know, and I've watched even some of the best managers in the major leagues pull a pitcher after one pitch. They obviously know something we don't, which is they've got the data. They know how to manipulate or organize a game and they're doing it and doing it really, really well. I mean, heck, you look at anything, golf, you look at, I mean, even little, I've got an app on my phone. It's called Game Changer for fourth grade baseball. You can like, and you've been running a dental practice for 20 years. You don't know any of your data. I know the batting averages of the fourth graders on the baseball team. You know what I mean? Like, so I just think data, you know, and data is the new hot thing. It's the engineering.
And for your hygienist, do you know their diagnostic percentage?
Right.
Do you know their case acceptance percentage?
Right, right,
do you know
right,
their
right.
reappointment percentage? I mean, these are things you need to know.
Right.
And it's not just because we want to know the worst.
Right.
We also want to know the best.
Yeah, we do. We do. And so, and also too, a lot of you maybe are baby boomers and you're trying to navigate the next chapter of your career. The worst thing to do is what you said before is to get in a car, build a business and just drive. You know, you got to know where you're going. And now we wouldn't even think of getting in the car without putting a GPS in our phone because that's a waste of time.
Yeah. So that's the truth.
Yeah.
That is the truth. Kirk, this has been super cool because now what's going to happen is now that we understand that there's a need for this and what that there can be tracked, patients are going to get better care and the team members are going to be less stressed. They're going to take better, and then it's going to take better care of patients. And then they're going to be even more less stressed because the doctors aren't yelling at them because they were getting more production. And then we're going to get better care. And then the patients, I mean, it's an awesome cycle right. that goes over and over again.
Right. Now, I got to do a shout out to my man, Deepak, who's, I love it. Look at this. Look at that. He's very thoughtful in his response. So Curtis, can I throw you one question from our main, like, Deepak, I just love your questions. I was about to say what you just illustrated, that one great benefit of tracking numbers is to quickly identify a wrong trend and arrest and reverse it. Dentists need to appreciate the economic loss here and use it as a motivator to do the tracking and staff training upon new hiring to maintain tracking. Dude, you're brilliant. So
brilliant.
He's a smart dude. You meet him in person. First of all, he's a super nice guy, crazy brilliant. So Deepak, awesome. I love your thoughts, but you know, it is the future of dentistry. And, I couldn't even imagine running a business without having any data, you know, to guide it. But Curtis, give us some last, you know, as we wrap this up, some of you might be watching this and you're a little overwhelmed. You're like, okay, well, easy for you guys to say. I've been running it on spreadsheets for years. Like, how do we do this? And you guys have been so kind to offer a complimentary snapshot for those people watching the Best Practices Show. We're going to post a link to it. You can try it for free. It takes 5 minutes. It'll plug right into your software. But give us some perspective on how this works and the future of data.
Well, here's the main thing, Kirk, is that everything is getting improved with technology. Mm-hmm. Rather than looking in the past, we can now really use a crystal ball and know what to do in the future.
Right.
So for anyone out there, just let us know, click that link for on the show here. And what we'll do is we'll give you a free snapshot or kind of an insight looking through the looking glass of your practice to see where you're at on hygiene case acceptance.
Right.
We can show you that right away.
Yep.
Right? We want you to know whether you get, I don't care, to be honest with you, I don't care if you get dental intel or not. I want you to look and know where you're at though, so that you can improve.
Right.
Once you know where you're at, then you can go to wherever you want to go. So please, if you take up that offer, this is only for Kirk's show here. You get a free snapshot. And what we can do is we'll gather all that data, give you a crystal ball on knowing not only what's happened, but what to do in the future.
Yeah, it's awesome. Now, for those of you that are watching the show on Facebook or YouTube, you'll be able to see the link in the show notes, but there's a lot of you, there's over 150,000 of you that have visited iTunes and been up there. If you're listening to this on iTunes, you can go to actdental.com/snapshot and you can get a free snapshot through that way. Either way, both links take you to the same place. You'll be talking to these guys. And Curtis, we couldn't be more grateful. You have changed the game for us and so many dentists that we coach and ultimately the patients that they serve. So we are big, huge Dental Intel fans. You guys are clearly amazingly brilliant people. So thank you so much. So,
well, buddy, this is like the best show ever. I mean, if you look at all the different shows out there, you got some late night shows and whatnot, but this show right here, Kirk, is the best.
So it's only because you got the two best looking bald guys, and I'm definitely in second place, man. I don't even know. I got a lot of, I don't know, buddy. I'm just grateful for our friendship, man. I learn something from you every single time. And so stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. I know you got to run. You're a busy guy. But for those of you that are watching, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for your suggestions. Keep sending them to us, the things that you want to see. We're going to do our best to get them back on. Until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys have a great rest of your day.
See ya.